My name's Katie Flynn, and I'm a member here. I just wanted to make sure that everyone is welcome, feels welcome. Whatever brings you here today, custom, crisis, or curiosity, you are welcome. God is ready and waiting for you. May you find peace here. Peace with God, peace with yourself, and peace with the world. So I noticed that there were several visitors this morning, which we're really excited about. So if you want to know more about us as a church and what we have to offer for you, you can find one of these red pamphlets in the back of the church, not the black folder attached to it, but just the red pamphlet in the back of the church, and it tells you all about us. Let's see, when you're looking at your bulletin this morning, you're going to find a lavender insert that looks like this. We ask that everyone fill that out. If you just want to use it for attendance, you can fill that out and put it in the offering plate during the offering time. If you'd like to have a prayer shared with the congregation, you can fill out the top section and hand it to the ushers as they come forward during prayer time, and we'll share that with everyone. If you are in need of restrooms or childcare, you can see one of the ushers in the back, or you can find both out this door. So we hope you feel comfortable here and you can find either of those things as you need. There will be refreshments and a time to chat with each other after the service in the gathering room, through the same doors, and we hope to see all of you there. Now also in your bulletin, you will find a pink slip. This is super important, so everybody grab it out of your bulletin now. It's got two times listed, 10:30 and 11. So I've heard a lot of people say whether they like the 10:30 service or they'd rather have it moved back to 11 o'clock. So whichever one you'd prefer, please check that box and the ushers will collect it during the offering time. So I'm not going to tell you which I prefer because I don't want anybody to, be mad or anything. I have several announcements. First, the Blessings in a Backpack at Bellevue Heights Methodist Church is in need of help packing bags on Tuesday at 1:30 in the afternoon and delivering them on Thursday at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. If you are willing to help out any time during the year, please sign up on the sheet in the hall on the University Ave entrance. That's the entrance out here. I'm not good with directions, sorry. The packing and delivering will take place at Bellevue Heights, and they'll be starting in September. Their biggest need is for people with trucks or vans to help with delivery. Now, if anybody has any questions about the Blessings in a Backpack project, you'll be able to see Sharon Smith out this door. She's waving her hand over there. She'll have a clipboard, and she'll be able to answer all your questions and everything. So this is a great ministry, and we hope that we've got a lot of people that will help. Now, also, on the second and fourth Sunday, as many of you know, we have community breakfast. I'm getting confused with words. We have breakfast that includes eggs, pancakes, all the trimmings and everything. On the opposite Sundays, we started having bagel breakfast that also start at 9:30. And we would just ask if anyone's interested in volunteering. All you have to do is set out all the stuff that Galen sets out for us. You don't have to buy anything. All you have to do is bring the bagels out, bring the toasters out, and the condiments, and then help people pick their bagels and toast them. So if anybody's interested in that, you can see me after the service, and we can try to set up a sign-up sheet. My last announcement is that today is the start of Vacation Bible School. So we are super excited about that. It's a camping theme. So if anyone wants to help with that, you can also see me after the service, or Morgan Mills. She's in the back. She's waving her hand. We're going to be setting up after service, and then we'll be back at 6 o'clock for kickoff. And we'll be having Vacation Bible School every night this week, Sunday through Thursday, from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock. You can come and help with any of the activities, or if you have cooking skills or baking skills, we would love to have some food donated. So you can either drop that off tonight at 6 while we're here, or anytime during the week. And I think that I'm done flapping my jaws, so now we'll continue our time of worship.
Good morning. I can tell someone's ready for the hymn sing back there. If you're visiting, we start our summer services with a hymn sing where the congregation picks the hymns. We do three hymns, one verse each. And so I see a hand already. Ed Potter, what would you like? 479. calling you because you missed out a few weeks ago. 431. That's why I was looking at you. I was waiting for that. Hands all the way in the back. How about there? 369.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchased of God. His spirit washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Keep your ideas for next week. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. How are you today? Good? Not too hot, right? It's just been great this summer. Well, I'd like to welcome all of you. I'm Pastor Alicia, and I am so honored to be the pastor here. We have a couple things going on. We are examining and exploring and having fun with all our stained glass windows. But up front here, we have something that has come from our food pantry. It's called the Plate Project. And so CNY Food Bank has asked our guests and volunteers to write down what answers to questions. So they're up because we think their voices need to be heard, but also it's up because it's great for Vacation Bible School. And so Morgan said, let's keep it up because it goes with the theme. So just so you know, that's what's going on there. So our worship theme, Stained Glass, I love to tell the story, brings to mind words from a song many of us learned as children. I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. We are surrounded in this space by the stories of Jesus as told through our stained glass windows. The windows have been telling this story since 1921, when the sanctuary, rebuilt after being destroyed by a fire, was dedicated. Each of the eight sets of windows along the side of the sanctuary depict a period of Jesus' life and ministry. And the window behind the organ displays his ascension into heaven at the end of his earthly ministry. We will reflect on one set of windows each week, telling the story of what is happening and considering what learning the story has for us in our time and our place. And so this week we are examining the third window here. So 1, 2, 3 is our window today. And then this is 4 next week, and then it comes over here, 5, 6, 7, 8, and then, as I said, 9 is in the back. So this week we're looking at this window. This week, the windows that are considered display the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. The left window depicts the dramatic scene at Jesus' baptism by John the Baptist, when the heavens open and the Holy Spirit, in the form of a dove, descends and God's word of blessing is offered to Jesus and also echoes down the millennia to us as God declared, "This is my beloved child, with whom I am well pleased." Jesus begins his ministry alone, and the center window shows Jesus healing persons with many different diseases, illnesses, and infirmities. And finally, the right window, we see Jesus expanding his ministry team as he calls two fishermen, brothers, James and John, to come, follow me. Again, the word of God echoes down the centuries to us. What does it mean for you and for me, for each or all of us, to make the decision to follow Jesus in these turbulent times? The miracle of healing, healing touch, healing words, healing actions, take place whenever we allow the love of God to shine through us. There are so many ministries at University United Methodist Church where you and I can help to make miracles happen. The Friday food pantry, which I kind of talked about with these plates, the clothing closet, Sunday morning breakfast, the refugee resettlement, blessings in a backpack, the care and share team, reconciling ministries, just to name a few. As we spend these months studying the windows and Jesus' life and ministry, imagine for a moment, what would Jesus do? And pick a way that you can become a miracle worker this day. Let us join together in singing our opening hymn, the third verse of I Love to Tell the Story, which is found on 156 in your pew hymnal or displayed on the screen.
And good morning. I'm Barbara Fote. Welcome to you, and I'm the liturgist for today. Would you please now stand if you are able and join me in the call to worship? This one is adapted from words by Tom Schumann. Welcoming God, you gather everyone, the outsiders and the insiders, to worship you. For you are not an image nor an idol, but you are the protector of the helpless, parent to the poor, friend of the lonely, and we gather together to worship you, our God. Let us gather. We gather to follow Jesus. We gather to be filled with the Spirit. Let us now celebrate our common kingdom, opportunities to greet one another, friends and newcomers, and we do have lots of visitors here, so please do reach out. Friendly hello, fist bump, good morning, peace be with you.
Halle, halle, halle. Halle, 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 luia. Halle, 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 luia. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Halle, 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 luia. Halle, halle, halle. Hallelujah, halle, 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 hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Amen. Please be seated. Welcome, everyone. How are you today?
Good.
Good? Okay, so today, I don't know if you heard me talk about this window over here. I'm looking at the last window on the, out of these four right here, I'm looking at the last one on the right there, okay? And so we're talking today about Jesus talking to the first disciples and saying, come, follow me. And they just got up and followed Jesus. And so I'm wondering if any of you have ideas about what it might mean to follow Jesus today. I'm going to get a microphone so we can hear what you have to say. What do you think it means to follow Jesus today? What do you think?
Enjoy your life.
Enjoy your life, yes. Any other ideas? Thinking. Well, I have another question for you. Can you come over here for a second and look at this? Did anyone sign this big piece of paper? I think some of you did, right? And others can still sign it. This is our Charter for Compassion that our congregation, young and old, signed. And so I'm asking you if you signed it, because, and if you know about this, do you see yours? I see Jacob. Do you see yours, Eric? I thought you were on here. I thought Stella was on here as well. Well, anyway, you can still sign it. So the Charter for Compassion, I'm bringing this up today for a reason. For me, following Jesus can be as simple as following compassion, following this Charter for Compassion. And what do you think compassion might mean to a Jesus follower? Well, let me turn on the mic. Say it again because it wasn't on.
Love for others.
Love for others. Absolutely. I took this out of the Bible. Matthew 7, verse 12 is exactly that. Treat others as you want to treat them. This is what the law and the prophets are all about. The golden rule, the charter, which is compassion. Yes.
Treat the whole church.
Treat the whole church with compassion? All right. So I thought that if you haven't signed this yet, why don't we talk about it after worship, and we'll see if we can get some more pens for you to sign it, okay? All right. Well, so being a Jesus follower equals living a compassionate life. And there's many other things, but if we boil it right down, that's what we got. Will you pray with me? Okay, great. Loving and living God, we say it so simply. To follow you is to act our whole lives with compassion. But you know what, God? Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes we fall short when we're striving to be compassionate and treat others as we want to treat ourselves. And so we ask, God, that you keep with us, you stick with us, you guide us, so that in all times we're able to follow this simple rule to treat others as we would like to be treated. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thank you so much for coming up and talking to me. I hope you all come to Vacation Bible School tonight. It'd be really great to see you there, either as a participant or a helper. And you can go sit back with the person who brought you. So we are a praying church here at University United Methodist Church. And so if you would like your prayer shared as a part of our worship service today, our ushers are coming forward now, and they will collect them, and they'll be read as a part of worship. Now today we're just going to take a breath and rest and listen to our call to prayer.
Let us join together first in a time of silent prayer, and then I will lead us in a spoken prayer, and then we'll all speak together the Lord's Prayer. And please feel free to do that in any language that is comfortable for you. Let us pray. God, you are an awesome, awesome God, and this season we think of you as the creator of those juicy tomatoes ripening on the vine, a God of solar eclipses, and a God of giggling toddlers and children eager for Vacation Bible School. And we honor you for all that you are, Creator. And we really want to follow in the ways of Jesus, but it's pretty hard sometimes, and we goof up. Forgive us. And we pray to be better followers, to look for places where we can bring little miracles, and to look within for our own prejudices, and to have courage to stand up to injustice wherever we see it. God, you've heard the names and situations that need prayer for those who are ill, for those who are grieving, for those who are embarking on new journeys, particularly students as they come to the university and others prepare for school. And we pray, God, for peace. Thank you for all your many blessings. And now, as Jesus taught us to pray, we say together, Mother, Father, God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. If you'll now please stand and join me in singing Two Fishermen, it will be displayed on the screen.
Two fishermen who lived along the Sea of Galilee stood by the shore to cast their nets into an ageless sea. Now Jesus watched them from afar, then called them each by name.
It changed their lives, these simple men. They never be the same. Leave all things you have and come to follow me. And come and follow me. And as he walked along the shore, 'twas James and John he'd find, and these two sons of Zebedee, and leave their boats behind. Their work and all they held so dear, they left beside their nets. Their names they'd heard as Jesus called, they came without regret. Leave all things you have and come and follow me, and come and follow me. And you, good Christians, one and all who'd follow Jesus' way, come leave behind what keeps you bound to trappings of our day. And listen as he calls your name to come and follow near. For he speaks in varied ways to those whose call we'll fear. Leave all things you have and come and follow me. And come and follow me.
You may be seated, and thank you, Dale, for leading us. That's a new song for me, and it helps to have your good voice leading. Our scripture this morning, we've just heard some of it. It is from verses 14 to 21 from the first chapter as Mark recorded it, and it describes Jesus calling for fishers, literally snatching them out of their settled lives to follow this rambling, itinerant preacher who'd been making waves, to keep the image going here, making waves with his teaching and healing. And this is from the Common English Bible. After John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee announcing God's good news, saying, "Now is the time. Here comes God's kingdom. Change your hearts and lives and trust this good news." And as Jesus passed alongside the Galilee Sea, he saw two brothers, Simon and Andrew, throwing fishing nets into the sea, for they were fishers. "And come follow me," he said. "I'll show you how to fish for people." And right away, apparently not thinking about it as I would do, right away they left their nets and followed him. After going a little farther, he saw James and John, Zebedee's son, in their boat, repairing fishing nets. And at that very moment, he called them, and they followed him, leaving their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired workers. Jesus and his followers went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, Jesus entered the synagogue and started teaching. Today we also have a contemporary reading that looks at where our culture is and then asks, what kind of Jesus do we need? This is Savior in a Swampy Land by Carol Penner. There's a swamp of secrets here, stretching as far as the eye can see. Secrets crossed over with lies, half submerged. The muck of deception clings close, and there is something rotten in the state of grace. You speak about your life lightly and politely comment on the weather, but your eyes tell a different story. You are mirrored here, bone mirrored, in mud that will not let you go. You are trapped and alone, and this may be the end. It's no good talking about the wise man who built on the rock. It's no good talking about the disciple who walked on the sea. It's no good talking about the tree planted by the streams of living water. What we need is a Jesus like an amphibious tank, 1,000 horsepower strong, roaring into view, spinning mud like geysers, clambering across every obstacle, against all odds, in this bleak landscape, a vehicle of hope. This is the word of God and wisdom of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning again. Our text today that is selected from Mark is here to tell us a story. It was selected for Mark, and let me breathe for a second. Selected for Mark to tell the story of Jesus calling the first four disciples. Come, follow me. Mark is the first written document to tell the previously oral stories of the life of Jesus, his ministries, and to share the good news. It was written about the year 70. Many scholars believe it was written in Rome, after the Jewish war with Rome. They have come to believe this because of his Latin influence in his Greek. Many scholars feel the author was the Mark who translated the disciple Peter's testimony. He was known as John Mark in the book of Acts. It seems as though the author wanted to be sure the hearers knew of Jesus' teachings and how to live out a Christian life as a disciple. And here's just a little fun fact, and I hope we talk about it later in the year. The book of Mark originally ended at chapter 16, verse 8, with the women discovering the empty tomb. The text was lengthened later in time. So as we reflect on our window today, the depiction of Jesus calling to the fishermen, come, follow me, we might imagine what we would have done if we had been called by that seashore. But then we come back to today and think, but that was a different time, and we can almost separate ourselves from them. We can just let ourselves off the hook and not answer the question for ourselves. It's easy to think, in Jesus' day, people, well, they didn't have mortgages and utility bills and rent and car payments and car insurance and health insurance and kids' college tuitions to pay for. So they could leave everything and follow Jesus. But that's just not simply true. The first disciples were so faithful and so courageous. They did have family, and they had financial responsibilities. And yet something bigger than themselves pulled them to Jesus, and they trusted him, and they trusted their family's lives to him. So let's just take a breath and think about what following Jesus might look like today. Jesus calls, come, follow me. This is a call of both a moment and a lifetime. A moment, maybe even this moment, we decide to follow Jesus and his teachings. Do we follow Jesus to the best of our abilities, using all of our God-given gifts? Jesus is calling today, this day, come, follow me. Following Jesus takes a whole lifetime. We follow Jesus' teachings, which are interwoven into our everyday lives, so that our whole being and our whole lives are lived as a supreme student of the master teacher. This may mean when we stray from Jesus, and then we hear the words of Jesus again, come, follow me. We will stop what we are doing that makes us stray and once again choose to follow Jesus. Will we believe that Jesus is about grace when we stray and think of returning? Jesus is about continually asking, reminding, nudging, calling us, pushing us out of our comfort zones to follow him. And therefore, Jesus followers are all about pushing, all about grace. Jesus' followers are all about grace, giving and receiving second chances over and over again. The moment we decide to follow Jesus is between each of us as individuals and Jesus. The following of Jesus for a lifetime is not only about our individual relationship with Jesus, but with one another. It's about our interaction with all of God's people. So how does this live out in our own lives? Maybe we see someone going through the garbage on the sidewalk to find something to eat for lunch, and we give them our lunch. Maybe we watch a movie about the state of our precious earth and decide to change one or two habits to answer God's call to be a good steward of the earth. Maybe we decide to call our government representatives to use our voices for change. Maybe we participate in teaching our children and youth all about Jesus' ministry. Maybe we stop judging and start doing. And maybe this is just the beginning of our list, and we share God's love and compassion with everyone. There's a lot going on in our world right now, so I'd like to take a moment to pull out those pew hymnals right in front of you and look on page 34. As we are baptized and become members of the United Methodist Church, and I'm assuming the Universal Church, we vow to uphold these things. And I thought in this moment of time, we could close by reading them together. And so I'm going to read what I normally read, and I ask that all of you answer. I do, if you feel as though this is something you're ready to do and follow Jesus. So think about this in today's context, in all that we've heard about in our world and in our country and in our state and in our city. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and the power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ is your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord, in union with the church which Christ has opened to all people of all ages, nations, and races? Jesus calls us, come, follow me. Being a follower of Jesus is not a spectator sport, whether we are thinking about people 2,000 years ago or today. This call is life-changing. Scott McKnight said it best. Those who aren't following Jesus aren't his followers. It's that simple. Followers follow, and those who don't follow aren't followers. To follow Jesus means to follow Jesus into a society where justice rules, where love shapes everything. To follow Jesus means to take up his dream and work for it. Amen.
We'll have some time during the offertory to think about what Alicia has shared with us. And as we begin that, let me remind you again to pull out that pink survey slip that can go in the offering folder. And there is also the purple slip on which we'd really appreciate if you would register your attendance. Those of you who are here for the first time, please, we don't expect a gift from you. You are our guest today. Others of you know that we have a strong tradition here of giving, both in this community, in the city, and around the world. So as a symbol of our ministry, if you would like, now is a time to put your tithes, your donations, or your offerings in the offering plate.
Sent out in Jesus' name, our hands are ready now to make the earth a place in which the kingdom comes. The angels cannot change a world of hurt and pain into a world of love, of justice and of peace. The task is ours to do, to set it really free. Oh, help us to obey and carry out your will.
Wow, I like that. That's new. That's great. Please join me in the prayer of dedication. This is adapted from liturgy by Tom Schumann, and it is displayed on the screen. At the corner of disarray and emptiness, you came, ingenious God, passing by as creation sprang forth out of the sheer silence, splitting valleys to push up mountains, breaking planets into moons, pouring waters into seas. All this was for those shaped in your image. Not only with our lips, our Our next hymn is Go Make of All Disciples. It'll be on the screen, number 571. But listen up, because this is going to make this song so much more meaningful to you. This was written by Leon Atkins, and he was the pastor right here from 1950 to 1955. And this song was first sung right here in 1955. It was the commissioning of the Sunday school teachers and the church school officers as a part of Christian Education Week. So I think that makes it all the more special. And Dr. Atkins went on to be a top official in Christian education for our whole denomination shortly after that. So let us sing, Go Make of All Disciples.
Join with me in the benediction as you feel moved. Go, now go, to serve as God's people. Now go to share the grace of Jesus. Go now to be the Spirit's community. Go now in peace to love and serve our God. Amen.